Hello and welcome to The Sanctuary, a safe space to speak from the heart. I'm your host, Israel, and my guest today is someone I've been dying to talk to. I think we've been planning this thing 3 years now.
Oh, wow.
Sensual MT, thanks so much for coming to the podcast today.
Israel, it's my pleasure. I've been trying to do this for a while and life gets in the way, but this is exciting. This is my first interview ever, so thank you for exposing me to this.
Yeah, no, I mean, first off, what you're doing is, it's like important. It's one of those things that you don't think people might need, but when you experience it, it's like, holy shit, yeah, it makes sense why this is important. So I guess for me, the first question I'm going to start with is like, how did you get into doing what you do? And what is it like, what do you do? Like, what is it called what you do exactly?
Wow. How did I get into it? I would like to call myself a healer, but not your typical healer. I started out in nursing. My whole family is actually in medicine, be it anesthesiologists, midwives. My ex-wife was a doctor. So healing people is ingrained in me from both my father and my mother and my partners. Always been a healer. And I was a nurse. I did ER. I did psych, addiction recovery. For quite a few years, and I'll be honest, I kind of burned out, got to the point in my life that it wasn't satisfying emotionally, or just it was too much corporate, too much not actual healing. It was more dollars and cents, and suddenly your patients are actually clients. I did not like that. So I got into massage therapy actually through, I'm going to call it a consumer. Been receiving, let's call it sensual massages, probably for the last 20 years. And I became friendly with one of the therapists. And the story really is one day she was, her shoulder was hurting, and I was already a nurse, and I was not shy to just reach out and touch someone. And they said, let me see if I can work on it. And after that happened, in the next session, she says, look, I would love to exchange with you. I don't want to charge you anymore. You have a fantastic, amazing touch. And that's how it started. I was exchanging with an actual therapist. And back then there was Backpage and Craigslist. And I said, well, I'm burning out on nursing, but I still want to work with people. And I put out an ad, and out of nowhere, people were reaching out. Yes, I want a massage with a happy ending. And that's how the story started. I quickly quit nursing. I was making almost as much money as a nurse, with working a lot less hours, no more 12 hours, and definitely not receiving any abuse from the patients or clients, which happens in the ER. People can be nasty. A lot of bad stuff comes out, but on the massage table, it's usually it's much, much better. I'm getting to touch people and heal people that is not exactly socially accepted. But there's a huge need. There's a huge need, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. You know, I was like, I saw what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. Because we work so hard these days. We have so many things on the go. And mm-hmm. we sometimes forget to take care of ourselves, like our physical bodies. And we only have this one body to
yes.
live in, right?
Yes. That's what I offer. I offer experiences. I don't have the psychological background to heal anybody in their mind, so to speak. I as a nurse, I know my limitations. I know that I can, some things I can fix, some things I'm not trained to, and I'd rather not go into that or with people, but I'm very, very aware of triggers. I'm very, very aware of things that people need help to get around. There are many people that have been abused, that just the thought of anybody touching them is scary, it's repulsive, they don't know where to go, and they do want to get over those barriers. And I'm like to advertise myself as a safe space, as an accepting space, as a non-threatening individual that... It's all about you. When you're on my table, it's 100% about you. I'm there to help you with your needs, overcome whatever difficulties you're having. And of course, that's some of the clients. Many of the clients just want to self-care. They just want to come out and they want to have a great time without having to be forced to reciprocate. There's nothing they have to give back to me other than the fee. But it's a one. It's very, very transactional, and I like it that way. I like it that way that there doesn't have to be any major emotional connection. There has to be a trust, and I hope that my FetLife profile establishes at least the initial trust. But I'm a very easygoing person. Once you meet me, people just open up spiritually. Literally, they open up. They allow me to touch them in ways that they would not allow anybody else to touch under normal circumstances.
They literally open up.
Yes. Yeah, I have opened a few people up. Yes.
So one of the, I mean, there are so many layers to you, what you do as a healer, using touch and getting people to discover things about themselves too.
Oh,
It's
yes.
like, oh wow, I didn't even know this could happen and things like. But another thing about you that I love is your writing, right? And most people go there for like the videos or the photos, but I love the writing. So like the writing, where did all that come from?
Well, first of all, thank you, because I've never written in my life. My first writing is actually my first writing on Fetch. You can see the first thing I have literally ever written, and it's foreign. And I just go out there and I try and tell what I feel. I don't think I'm a good writer personally. I mean, to write a paragraph takes me a full day. I reread it 100 times. I try and check every comma, every punctuation, but the writing itself is just me putting out there what I'm feeling in the moment, and of course digesting it again and again and again until I think it's perfect. But thank you for saying my writing is good. I have a lot of people that have said that, and I'll be honest, I don't know what the big deal is.
I mean, I think maybe it's all the reading and rewriting and all that, but what I love to me, writing I love, it's like it doesn't like I don't need a dictionary to enjoy what I'm reading. And they're not talking down at me. Like,
No.
it's like, okay, I have to be intelligent to understand what this person is saying, but they're not making me feel like I'm dumb. But it's like it's inviting, it's warm, it's like this knowledge I have and I'm sharing it, and
I
hey,
love it.
do with it what you want.
I love it. No, I love it. I love teaching. As a nurse, you teach a lot. In the ER, it's conversations you have, and a lot of the conversations you have with patients or clients is how to make their life better. I remember, for instance, you have younger women or a woman in general coming into the ER, and they have the UTI, and they're like, "Well, how did I get this UTI?" And most people are not comfortable talking about that. But I would just say, "Hey, do you PF? Do you have sex?" Things like that. And I found that people do respond to when you not talk down to them, God forbid, but when you make it simple that anybody can understand. I've written some nice things on Fit where I took some concepts. I'm like, oh my God, this is medical. This is nursing. This is pretty complex. And I'm like, okay, I'm shedding all that off. And I want an absolutely average person to try and understand what I'm saying so they can benefit out of it, teach them something. Speaking of teaching, I have a lot of couples that come to me,
Oh,
especially
okay.
lesbian couples. I've had a lot of lesbian couples come in together and say, "Hey, we've seen your videos. What the hell are you doing? Here, please show us, demonstrate." So I love that. I love teaching people how to better their lives in general, especially their sex lives.
And I mean, so let's now talk about the process itself. I,
Yes.
see your ad or a friend tells me about your service or whatever. I reach out to you. What happens?
So I don't like, I hope I don't sound cold when I chat with the first time with people, but I do get a lot of people reaching out, a lot. And most of them are tire kickers, or they're curious, or they just want to know what it costs. They don't really intend to go forward with it. And you kind of, the two text messages, you already know if this is a don't want to say a time waster. Is it someone who's actually really interested, or they just want to chat? So they try as fast as possible to go to a real phone number. What I mean is, on FetLife, there's no privacy. Everything you write, everything you publish is open to the either the caretakers or to the world. So I give you my phone number, and then we start chatting. And I will, I'm an open book. I like to say that my memory is shot. So lying to somebody is, there's no point in lying. I just tell it as it is. That way I'll remember what I said next time because I didn't make it up. You tell me what you're looking for, and I am usually willing and able to provide. It's really most clients, it's three or four texts back and forth. They get the answer they need, and they just show up. And then it's a massage. I like to tell people you're coming and you're paying for a massage. You don't have chit-chats with your normal massage therapist or with your nail person or with your hair person. It's you come, you book an appointment, and you get what you paid for. That's what I aim for. I'm not looking to make too much of a personal connection because everybody who comes to me already usually is in a relationship. So I'm just there to fill a need, fill a niche. That's about it. It's like you're booking a massage, you're booking your hair to get cut, you're booking a tattoo, whatever it is. I make it very easy. You book me, you come, and we do it.
And is it like time-based or service-based? You know what I mean? I mean, like, am I just paying for an hour and whatever, or am I paying for a specific service?
Thank you. That's very important. You're paying for time. You're paying for my time only. As everybody's aware, selling sex, if I was doing sex, let's put it that way, that's very illegal and they'll get you in trouble. Many people do have a menu, for instance, and you'll see it. If I'm dressed or if they're dressed, it's a fee, and if you want me topless or naked, it's a different fee, and if you want me to perform this or that, absolutely not. I have a flat fee, and a flat fee basically means you are going, I can put it out there, the flat fee, we both will be naked. Mutual touch is allowed to whatever we consent to, but the goal here is your satisfaction, definitely not mine. This is all about you. And people do come in with a bucket list. They have things they want to experience, things they want to try. Some of them are very explicit. Some of them are as simple as, I just want to be touched, especially after COVID. And still today, I have people that come and say, other than a fist bump or an elbow bump, I haven't touched anybody in 2 years. So I am literally their first human contact in quite a while. And that's, people have, of course, body image issues. People have fears, they have triggers. And I'm very good at helping you overcome that and basically loosening up on the table and hopefully having a fantastic time.
Mm-hmm. So one thing, you know, that kind of stands out for me is that the ease or the level of comfort that you have with your clients, is that something, is it innate? How do you get people to feel so comfortable?
Oh, that is, I think that has to be at some point built into you. I want to say it's because I'm high, because most of the time I am high. My life has been much better since I have a medical card, and to me, marijuana is my mood stabilizer and it's everything. But I'm very, very comfortable with people. As a nurse in the ER, I'm not sure if anybody knows what a Baker Act is. In Florida, it means they can just put you under 72 hours. Let's call it not house arrest. You're actually in a mental ward in a hospital. So you'd get people that come in, either a police officer brought them in or family set them off, or the person is truly having a bipolar episode. They're having some kind of mental breakdown. They can be violent. They could be very, very aggressive, hostile. And I simply have a way of breaking through all that. When someone came in, they would say, "Hey, are you ready? Are you ready to take a Baker Act?" I'm like, "Sure, bring them in." And You have people that have both hands locked to the gurney by the police. They're too dangerous. They're spitting, they're scratching, they're biting. And give me about 10 minutes, and I have the police officer uncuff one hand, and I'm starting an IV, and we're joking and we're talking. I think that has to be in you. You have to be a very, very non-threatening person. You have to have a very good touch. You have to be warm. You have to be accepting. And you have to bring yourself to their level. You have to talk their language. You have to be... Main thing is being non-threatening. And that is probably innate. That has to be ingrained in you. If you're an alpha male, aggressive, dom, yeah, that's not going to work for 90% of my clients.
Okay. Yeah, because like it's as if they come and they're like, it's almost as if they're under hypnosis. Another thing is, you know, you have, there's like a continuum, right? You know, there's very light and then there's like really intense things. Is this part of the discussions you have when you are, I guess, getting ready?
Yes. We do have, of course, we have a conversation for a few minutes when you get here. It's nothing I would want to put into text. I would not want this held against me in the court of law someday. But we sit down. We're fully clothed. We have a conversation. And I ask them, why are you here? What are you trying to, what would you like to experience? What's missing in your life? What would you like to explore? And I do have people that come in with a bucket list. There's waves, like, and this is not new, but I can tell you recently as in the last 2 years, everybody wants to be fisted. It's like, it's a new thing. And I will admit I'm now pretty good at it. I can tell within just a few seconds if someone can be fisted or not. And usually I'm successful.
Wait. Are there some people that just can't be fisted?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Even women who've had children can't be fisted. I mean, not to go into medical terms, there are women who still die at childbirth. Thank God, not in first world countries, but in third world countries. If you don't have a C-section available, they will die in childbirth. It still happens today. So I don't think every woman can be fisted, not immediately. If you prep them and you have time and tons of lube, maybe. But I don't think it's a guaranteed thing, especially if you've never had a child before. And then there's people that their pelvis is just not meant for it. I don't think so. It's an experience I'm happy to provide if we ever, and in my videos, if you've seen me on Fit, not too long ago, for the first time ever, I've done anal fisting. That let me tell you, that was an experience. That was a first. I never thought I'd get to do that, but no, I have now anally fisted someone on video for the whole world to see. And it's, that was an experience. and she came in, she said, and during the conversation, she says, I've been fisted many times, but no one was ever able to anally fist me. So check, done that.
So, when I guess, you know, I'm not sure how that happened, if it came from you or if it came from the client, but a client reaches out to you in sending for the session you'll have together that they might be requiring a service that isn't something you typically do. What happens?
Well, I make it very clear what I do, what I am willing to do. I'll give you an example. I do work on men as well. I'm not going to say 50% are men. It used to be a lot more, but now I actually do have more female clients than male clients. But I am not gay. I am definitely bi. I couldn't do this if I wasn't somewhere heteroflexible at least. And I'll admit I'm hands only. So with my male clients, it's hands only. It's what you call a happy ending massage. You get a good massage. I am a licensed massage therapist, so you are going to get a massage. And you're going to get a happy ending. Call it a hand job. Let's put it that way. and that's the extent of it with my male clients. You are welcome to touch me in any way you want. But I tell people sex is not going to happen with men. It's just not what I'm looking for, not what I need, not what I'm willing to provide. With Females, I'm a lot more, let's just call it easygoing. There are no real restrictions. It is, I've never had anybody ask me to do something that I was not curious about or willing to do. So again, there is no menu, there is no added fee, absolutely not. There is one fee. I've actually had people that I clicked with and they asked once the hour or hour and a half was over and we're done. Now they say, hey, can we actually have a play session now and do whatever. And I'm like, we're off the clock and we're both still fully charged. Let's do it. So that happens too. Again, I don't offer that. It's in the heat of the moment. My session is literally you're paying me for a massage. That's about it.
Another thing you do, and I'm not sure if maybe it's because it's a video, but it's like you're always having this conversation, like a back and forth talking with
Oh
with
gosh,
the
yes.
client. Okay.
So no. So I never. I my voice is just my voice. I do know I have an accent. I've lived around the world. Really, I have three passports. I've lived around the world, so I have an accent. And people say, "I love hearing your voice," and that's okay. That's cool. But then I have people telling me how much they actually enjoy that I actually say what I'm doing. I mean, if you go to Pornhub, you go to videos everywhere. No one's talking. No one's talking. I mean, men literally do not talk in porn. It's usually the woman moaning, groaning, begging, whatever it is, but there's no conversation going on. There's no explanation of what's going on. And I got requests. I people t sending me PMs on Fit and saying, hey, can you show me how you can you please do that? Show, make a video about that. And it just spiraled from there. I took my love for teaching and demonstrating and I turned it into a video. And I'm saying, okay, you want to see how to find the G spot or find the clit or work the cervix? This is how you do it. So I'm doing live hands-on or hands-in educational video. And that's by request. People ask for it and I've got amazing feedback. People that text me say they watch my videos to hear my voice, to hear the explanation, and just to hear people talking and laughing and giggling and having questions. And in other words, it's nothing is there's no it's not choreographed, there is no script, there is no prep. I mean, the people you see, they come to me, and it's that's it. We just turn the camera on and we go. And what you see is what we get. Whatever's done, that's what I publish.
Talking about that though, some of the, like I said, some are really soft and some are really, well, I guess rigorous for lack of a better word.
Yes.
And I because of what I do, I type a lot and I do that and I'm like, oh man, my wrists are killing me. And I'm watching some of your videos. How do you like, what do you do for, I guess, your hands? Because that's like your
Yes.
tool, really. Like your mind, your voice, your hands. What are the things you do to keep them in the, I guess, the state they're in? Because
No,
sometimes, I'm
that's a
like,
perfect question because my hands are my tools. My friends know that I'm not the right person to ask, move, to fix something, to I protect my fingers because calluses not acceptable, hangnails not acceptable. I am going into very, very delicate spots on the human body that you do not want to scratch. You do not want to but massage therapy is full contact sport, if you want to say that. You have to be in pretty good shape. You have to be dexterous with your fingers, with your wrists. It's my tools, and you have to be in good shape. You have to protect them. If I cut my finger, if I get a paper cut, I cannot work for a few days. Bodily fluid exchange, exposure, it's dangerous. So I cannot afford to cut my fingers. So yes, I protect my hands. And it is body mechanics. A lot of it is body mechanics. But you learn the best, I would say, movement. I'll give you an example. Fisting someone is not easy. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of I sometimes feel like the blood supply to my entire hand is gone. It's cut off. It's like, so that does happen because some people are tight. And of course, they're having their spasms and orgasms, and it's not painful, but yes, you have to know what you're doing. It's I might make it look easy, and it's not that difficult, but you have to know what you're doing, and you have to protect your hands. You cannot be in construction and try and do massage on the side. Nope. It my hands are my tools. I protect them at all times.
I guess apart from, not getting a pepper coat, what are there like specific things you do to your hands? Are there, I guess, like workouts or like exercises you have to do for your hands?
No, I don't do that. But I do. I trim my nails, I would say, every 2 days. I have a nail file with me almost all the time. Your hands, that's what people look at. You cannot have black nails. You cannot have grimy nails. You cannot have calluses. No blisters, nothing. Your hands have to be perfect. They really do, because you feel it. People feel that. I for instance, washing dishes. I wash dishes I do my own stuff, of course. I wear gloves. When I'm washing dishes, I have those gloves because your hands, if you get them wet all the time, they will become too soft, too dry. I'll give another example. As a nurse, everybody's always using those alcohol rubs. I hated that stuff. I hated it. It would destroy my hands. My fingers were dry. My nails were dry. I hated using alcohol cleaning stuff. I would go to the sink, use soap and water, not alcohol. So whatever I do, I have to be conscious of my hands. No paper cuts, no bruises, no nothing. They have to be perfect.
When it comes to like a yoni massage, there's a position you like putting your clients in where they kind of have like their feet together, like the feet actually touching each other, kind of like a triangle or pyramid in a way.
Is you're talking about when they're on their back?
Yes, on their back, yes.
So in my videos, most of my videos are actually when you're on your knees, ass in the air. The idea is, I'm trying to really close up of the groin area. Usually it's fisting, or if it's even just doing some exploration. I think it's the easiest to fist someone in that position. The camera angle is perfect. I always promise new people there's no faces and there's no tattoos. So unless people ask for that, I do have people that do want the share to take the content and use it for their own profiles. They don't mind their tattoos. They don't mind faces. But in that angle from the back, they also have the confidence that, yes, no one's going to recognize them. No one's going to show them. The only thing you see is basically their ass. Now, if we're doing a slow, gentle yoni massage, then yes, you want them on the back. You want their... let's say their vagina nicely exposed. It gives you good access to externally play with it. If you want to put in a few fingers, do some exploration. It's probably the worst position for fisting when someone's on their back. It's actually not easy. But the legs is really to their comfort. Usually their legs are not closed. They're usually, and that's just for the camera. They have their knees, of course, spread open so I can access the goods, so to speak. But it's really comfort level. I like to tell people, you get comfortable, I will work around you. This is your session, and it's all about you. So get comfortable. Put your hands where you want them. Put your legs where you want them. I will adjust the camera accordingly, and let's go.
So a person is listening to the podcast and they're like, okay, cool. I'd love to come and experience one of your services. What are some things they need to have in mind?
Please be showered really. Please be showered. And this goes for also all massage therapists in general. Please do not wear any perfume, because I'm going to be right above you, just from working, and it's in my face. It makes it difficult to breathe. It your eyes. I've had people that it feels like they literally splashed something on them just before they got out of their car and came in. I'm like, whoa, that is way too much. So
is that part of just like them being self-conscious, or
it could be. It could be. Okay. Some people are worried about their body odor if they have one. Most people actually don't, unless you really just came from the gym. I do offer a shower. I do offer a bidet. So it's highly appreciated when people are clean. When you're coming to a massage therapist or to me, for instance, you do not need to shave your legs. You do not need to shave your vagina. You do not need to prepare anything for me. I will accept you as you are. As long as you're comfortable, we're good to go. But definitely please don't smoke before you got here. No strong perfumes. Take a shower and just relax. Again, remember, this is for you. I always stress no reciprocation is ever required. This is, again, you're either paying me for the session or we're doing a photo shoot exchange, there's a lot of people. I mean, all my friends, all people I associate with, we're all in the service industry to some degree. Mm. So we're not high income people. So I'm aware that my services are not within the disposable income of everybody. So I offer a free session. I take some pictures and videos, you get exactly what you want, and my profile grows and it brings in more people. So I try and make it to accessible to anybody who really wants to experience this.
Mm-hmm. One thing, you know, and I guess this is from your medical knowledge, is whenever you're making some of the more instructional videos, you talk of the A spot, the P spot, and the G-spot. Yes. What are the differences?
Okay, well, thank you. And I don't think I made those up, but they're not. People think of the P-spot in male terms as a prostate spot. So let's take it away for a minute. The G-spot, everybody kind of knows what the G-spot is or kind of where it is. So I've made a few videos out there where it is. And I try to put a close-up video to show where it is and how to access it. Those are the simple things, the G-spot and the A-spot. They're pretty accessible. The A-spot and the P-spot, that is, I'm using medical terminology as anterior and posterior. Anterior means front, posterior means back. So there is the cervix somewhere in the vagina. It's different for every woman. It moves around depending on which side you're on, if you're up, if you're down. The cervix moves around a lot. The cervix is a very, very, very sensitive, I'm going to call it orgasmic spot in the body. Most people don't even know it exists. Their exposure has been just plain penetration. And if the guy is average, let's just say 6 inches long, the cervix has never been touched. In the woman's life, the cervix has never been touched. And I've already shown women that the P spot, the posterior or the far spot of the cervix, which is literally the deepest spot in the vagina, can give you a completely different orgasm. It is a full body shaking orgasm that most women have never experienced in their life. And that's always fun to do. That is always fun to do. Women think, oh, I can have one orgasm. You have to rub my clit real, real hard, and that's it. And I ask, are you multi-orgasmic? They're like, I've never had more than one orgasm. And an hour later, 5 orgasms later, they're like, wow, I didn't even know my body can do that. So right. those are the fun sessions. But the P-spot, the A-spot, that's really the spots around the cervix. And the G-spot is the front of the vagina, right behind the clit, basically. The clit is on the front. The G-spot is kind of behind it on the other side of the pelvic bone. I love teaching this stuff because people, I have had women on my table that had no clue. It's like they haven't even taken a mirror. So they have no idea where their clit is. And most people think the clit is that little tiny thing you see over there. And I'm like, no, that's not the clit. It's like kind of like pointing at your dick and saying, you see the tip of my dick? That's the dick. No, that's just the tip. There's a whole, and the female clit is much more complex than the male penis. Many, many more places to play with and touch and explore. So yes, I love doing that. I love giving people firsts. That's one of the things I definitely enjoy doing is, I call it popping cherries. When people on my table say, wow, I have never experienced X, Y, Z. It's like, perfect. My job here is done. Another satisfied client.
Wow. And I guess, so one other thing you do is like when everything is done and, you know, they've caught their breath, you kind of just yes. like, I get, you know, I guess like bring them back or like talk to them in release.
Aftercare.
Yeah. So exactly what is that and why is it important to do that?
Well, it's very important to do that. I mean, that's every sub and dom relationship or any kind of play session requires some aftercare. After you have an orgasm, your brain is very, very euphoric. You're still floating. And when you think that, okay, I have, you're here for an hour and you're about to jump right back into Tampa rush hour traffic, your mind is somewhere else. You're still floating. The endorphins are still rushing through the body. I don't want you to have an accident or anything like that. So the idea is to calm you down. Make sure your heartbeat is back to normal. Your breathing is back to normal. You're thinking coherently and you're ready to face the world. So it's really not to give you this huge experience and then just throw you out the door. The idea really is for you to have the experience, enjoy it, catch your breath, have a bottle of water. I mean, if I was their primary in a relationship, then people would cuddle. People would fall asleep. There would be some hugging. There would be some rubbing. There would be emotional support to bring you back to the real world from what you just experienced. So That is something almost too intimate. I'm not ready to jump into that role because it is very, very intimate. I try and keep it intimate, but a little bit less of the personal connection because we're not dating. We're not on a date. I'm not your boyfriend. This is very, very transactional. And the peer is part of every scene. It's from the consent discussion from the beginning all the way to handing you a bottle of water as you leave and make sure you're safe to leave. The scene it's the whole thing. There's the highs, there's the lows, there's the talk before, the talk after. But yes, aftercare is an extremely important part. And I know the value. People have thanked me for not just throwing them out and making sure they're okay and discussing it. Because some people, a lot of people are, it's not traumatic in a bad way, but yes, people do cry on the table. From joy, sometimes it's from loss. People have all kind of emotional releases on the table. And yeah, you can't just throw them out the door. You have to help them through my ability, navigate through that, make sure they're safe. And yes, aftercare, very, very important.
Wow. So many things. Okay, another thing I think, like, I mean, you kind of do this online, but do you ever see a situation where you do like, in-person seminars or teaching people how to do this? Because you mentioned that you actually have partners coming. Is that the only level you get to, or do you see like doing like seminars, I guess? That's all that comes to mind.
I get that asked a lot, really. I would love to do that, but I'll be honest, I have no organizational skills. In other words, setting up, finding the venue, setting up all the calendars. I mean, I do have people ask, hey, can I have a four-handed massage? And I'm like, sure, I do have therapists. And I know, and just trying to get my calendar with the other therapist's calendar and of course the client. And if they're a couple, now it's four people trying to get their schedules together. And I'll be honest, it's not easy. It's just not easy. And if someone came to me and said, Gary, I have an event. Would you like to be one of the presenters? I'm absolutely. I would love to do that. I can't do it myself. So it's a team effort. It's anybody. I'll give you an example. People say, why don't you have an OnlyFans? I'm like, because that's a job. I already have a job. I do not want to sell stuff. I don't want to sell anything. I sell my hands. That's the only thing I charge for. And, I do teach couples. Most of them are, you know, man and woman, but I do have both men. I do have lesbian couples. They want to be taught how to pleasure each other, how to enhance their sex lives. Many couples have fantasies that they want to fulfill, and they don't want to go to a bar and meet a stranger. And coming to me, they know that it's transactional. There's not going to be weeks of chatting. And of course, once they walk out the door, in theory, they're never going to hear from me. You have to approach me. I don't approach anybody. I keep it completely discreet, off the radar. But to answer your question, I would love to be able to give classes. Four, maybe six people is the max. This is not something I would want to have 20 people there. It would get out of control very, very quickly. I actually have been to things like that. I'm like, this is cool, but it's not the way I envision this going. So yes, if people come to me and say, can you teach? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I can't put that together. It's not my skill set. That's not my superpower.
Okay, well, that's good to know. It's always a good time chatting with you. And I want to end it with this question, though. What you do is important, and but it's like you give so much in the sessions you spend with your clients and stuff. What do you do for yourself? Like, how do you take care of yourself? Because you are doing all this care for all these people. What are some things you do to take care of yourself?
That's a good question. I'd have to say, first of all, by default, you have to be a giver. You have to be a giver. You have to be service oriented, because this, I put out a lot of energy, a lot. And this is not a normal massage where your brain can be somewhere else and you're just going through the motions, deep tissue, stripping muscles. No, I put a lot of either intent or energy into what I do. I have to be very, very in tune with the person on the table. And to fill my battery, I exchange massage. There's, of course, massageexchange.com. I have met quite a few therapists there. Every massage therapist has to recharge their batteries once in a while. I am extremely, extremely lucky. I found my girlfriend, my partner, on FetLife. And lucky for me, she found me as a client. So she can't say, I don't like what you do. No, she likes what I do. She's still around. And so she fills my battery. I give her, she gives back as much as I give her. And you have to find something that fills your battery. And in my case, yes, it is touch. I love being touched. I love touching. I involve around the touch. Walk is good, but I need to. That's where I recharge my batteries, in massage, receiving and giving.
Wow. This has been a very enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for sharing. And
Israel, it's been a pleasure.
I will come up with a plan, because organizing is my stuff. So maybe I'll come up with a plan, because I think what you're doing is important. You should take it on the road.
Well, that is a plan. I mean, I'll be honest, that is a plan. It is, things are changing in my life all the time, but I am considering buying an RV and hitting the road for a year. It's more to travel America and visit all the national parks, but along the way is offering the service, trading services, a place to stay for the weekend, park my RV and trade services. Or, of course, I have been flown out. people have flown me out for my services. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been to Vegas, New Orleans. So I do want to take it on the road. And if somebody wants to fly me to them or has a suggestion, I'm open to that. I do want to add one thing, by the way. People ask me, how do you get into this? And I tell them, just don't. And what I mean by that is, and especially massage therapists, because you do have a lot to lose. And what I do, I really believe has no place in the commercial space. What I do should not be done at spas, should not be anywhere where the average citizen can walk in. It's illegal, number one. You're opening yourself up to being sued. The owner of the establishment can lose their establishment license. They can be sued. Nobody needs this. This is something you do off the grid, or either in your house as the client, or you come to me. I have my own studio in my house, and I don't mix and match. I do not do vanilla massage. I do not have plain clients. My whole thing is, this is what I do. I do sensual massage. So when you're coming to me, you've already seen my videos, you've seen my pictures, you know what to expect. There's no surprises. And if you are a vanilla massage therapist, you really don't want to cross the line, because how do you separate them? You have a client on the table, and you're trying to guess, well, do they want me to go further or not? You know, it's like, and if I do go further, what am I risking? To me, there's no issue over here. You come to me, you know exactly what you're getting. There's no surprises. So
yeah,
if you want to do this, make sure you have nothing to lose. Make sure it's really what you want to get into, because there's no coming back. You cross the line, that's it. This is what I do. It's okay. Fantastic. People need it. And it's a fantastic service that I love providing.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. I've had a wonderful time, and thank you for coming to the sanctuary today.
Israel, thank you so much for having me. This was enlightening, and it's my own personal development and growth. My first podcast. Thank you so much.